Won't that be a wonderful time when there's no more clouds of life and problems that come to us, and there's a land that's fairer than day, and we head toward that as a believer, as a Christian, and not only do they tell me of that, but one day we will experience it in our personal life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, tonight, take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter number 2. We are closing in on the Christmas season very rapidly. That day will be upon us, and we're in that two-week period beforehand where things begin to be very hectic and chaotic sometimes. But you and I, as a believer, I'm grateful tonight that the Lord was born, and we have the story given to us in Luke chapter number 2. But I'm going to, we're not going to read the what's considered the Christmas story there in the first part of it, but there's a section of Scripture that sometimes is overlooked and not much said about this portion of Scripture. I don't think in all my years of preaching that I have ever preached this particular message on this person mentioned, but never just a message on the person. And I want to begin reading in verse number 25. In verses 25 through 39, that's where we'll be reading tonight. A little bit longer reading than normal, but it gives you the whole story of what's taking place. The first part of Luke chapter 2 is the birth of the Lord and their time there in Bethlehem. And then when all that was accomplished in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph and Jesus went to Jerusalem. Carrying out the things of the law that they were supposed to do. And when we pick up the reading in verse 25, they are in Jerusalem, and there's a man there by the name of Simeon. And there's a lady that's spoken of a little bit later. Her name is Anna. So we'll read verse 25 on down through verse number 39, and it gives you the story of these two folks that are very important in the birth of the Lord, the things that were taking place. Here we find in verse 25 says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for after him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which was spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rise again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phineal of the tribe of Asher. She was a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake unto him all and to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they return to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth." Here we have the story of this man by the name of Simeon. The Bible says he was a just man. He was a devout man, and he was filled or full of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost had revealed to him that he would not die until he saw the Christ child, until he saw the Lord, until he made put his eyes upon the Lord. He had a promise from the Holy Ghost that he would not die. And so when Joseph and Mary bring the Lord into the temple to accomplish the traditions of their day, when he saw the Lord, he recognized immediately that this was the Messiah. I think in the time that Jesus was born, the multitude, many in Israel, were looking for his first coming like we are looking for his second coming now. You have the book of Malachi in the Old Testament, which is the last book, and it gives many prophecies concerning the coming of the Lord. And from the time that Malachi wrote his words until the birth of the Lord or to the writing of the Gospels, there was silent years. That they're called 400 silent years. God no longer spoke. There was no revelation. There was no inspiration. There was no more word from the Lord. And 400 years has gone by, and they read the book of Malachi, and they understand that there is a Messiah that's coming. And those that were close to the work of God and to the message, to the work of the temple, they realized that time was right. Time was at hand of which the Lord would be born. And this man Simeon, he had been told of the Spirit of God that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And when he sees him, he takes him in his arms. Where we read tonight, he took him in his arms and blessed God. And he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He recognized that he was looking upon the Messiah. He recognized he was looking upon the Son of God. And he said, now I can depart in peace. What are you saying? He was ready to die. He was ready to go. And he gives these words. And as he is doing that, this woman, Anna, comes in and she hears that. And the Bible says that in verse number 38, and she coming in that instant, when he was giving his message concerning the Lord, she comes in and hears that, and the Bible says it gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked on or looked for redemption in Jerusalem. The Scripture says she was a prophetess. She had been there at the temple for a number of years. And so I want us to think tonight concerning an old woman who looked for the Lord. She recognized also the time. Simeon had the promise of God. As soon as he saw him, he recognized him. And she comes in and hears all the words of Simeon. And she makes her statement. And she comes in and gives thanks unto the Lord. And she speaks concerning the redemption in Jerusalem. I thought it was interesting. I read it again this afternoon in verse number 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. There in the very opening statements concerning the life of the Lord, he is a light unto the Gentiles. Thank God we are under the light of the gospel. We have the message of the Lord, and not only to the Gentiles, but also to the glory of his people Israel. So that verse tells us that Jesus came for the whole world, Jew and Gentile alike, and Simeon recognized that. But primarily tonight, verse 36, 37, 38, and we read 39 stating the end of the story concerning them returning from Jerusalem. They go back to their hometown there in Galilee of the city of Nazareth. But these three verses, 36, 37, 38, gives just a few details about this woman many times that is overlooked. The Scripture says she was of great age. The Bible says that she had not departed from the temple. And so she was I started to title the message, An Old Woman Who Looked for the Lord and Lived in the Temple. And basically, that's where she lived. The temple had certain places that people could stay and live. And those that served in the temple, many of the musicians, many of the different ones lived there. But she was there, and as we go to this scene, we see here in Jerusalem that this man has made the statement about the Lord, and he now has spoken, and she hears that, and they are there in that temple that was so very important in the ministry and the life of the Jews of that day. The temple in Jerusalem, now this is not Solomon's temple, this is called Herod's temple. This is probably the third temple maybe that was built, and Herod had much influence in that. And so he is there in the temple, and this is where the Lord went in his ministry. This is where the disciples went. This is where they had their ministry there in the temple. And it's the same temple that is in history is told of us that the Roman general Titus came into town, destroyed all the people, destroyed all the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible says that not one stone would be left upon that temple. And history tells us that when he got finished with his rampage over Jerusalem in AD 70, the temple was totally destroyed. And literally, there was not one stone left upon another. And so this is the temple where they are. And the Lord knew what was going to take place in the future and what would happen. Matthew 24, Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him, show the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And so the Lord knew what was going to take place. He knew what was going to happen, and he tells his disciples that. But strangely enough, the Lord did many marvelous things in the temple. And until the New Testament church was established during the ministry of the Lord, the temple was the place of worship, is the place of where religion came together. And so the Lord, he did many things there in the temple. He cleansed the temple. He drove out the money changers. He drove out all those that were in that continual business of making money there in the inside the temple grounds themselves. And he drove them out. And so there's many things told to us about this temple. Well, there's going to be another temple one day before long, I believe, that will be built. The scripture tells us that during the tribulation, there is a what we call the tribulation temple. And it'll be different than these that we've read about. It has not come about yet. The Temple Mount is there waiting for it to be established. There's some things that must take place and must happen before that would take place. But there is a temple during the tribulation time. And so we find here, this is the place where Jesus is brought to as a baby, where the prophecy is given concerning him, and then his ministry concerned much of that temple. But let's notice this lady, just three real quick, easy things about her. This is very, very little said about her in the scripture, and so tonight we look at this in these verses. First of all, let's look at who she was. I call it her profile. The Bible says in verse 36 and verse 37, that there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. Now, if I understand wording and understand timing, she was of a great age. The scripture says here that when she got married, she was a virgin, and she lived with her husband. She and her husband were married for 7 years, and he dies, and from that moment on, she stays in the temple, and she devotes herself to the work of the Lord. She lived there in the temple, and she was a prophetess, and she was one that was used of the Lord, and so we find that she lived happily with her husband for 7 years. He dies, and now she's been a widow how long? Fourscore and 4 years. That's 84 years. Now, if you do any figuring, any math at all, 84 years from the time of the death of her husband, she's been married 7 years, so that makes her 91. And if you add 16 to 18 years when she got married, she's about 108, 109, 110 years old. No wonder the scripture said she was of a great age. And so she'd been around the temple 84 years. She had been in the inner workings of the temple for those 84 years, and probably even before that, with her husband living. And she was when Herod the Great was born, she was around 15 years of age, and when she was around 50, Herod became king of Judah. This is the Herod of the Scripture that is a hater of the Lord. Now, there's no indication here that she had any children, and she lived the great bulk of her life in the temple of God. She lived most of her life in the temple serving the people of Israel and serving her Lord. When her husband died, she didn't give up and quit. She continued on, and as a widow, for the glory of God, she was there in the temple being used of the Lord. Now, the scripture doesn't give us anything about her, but I'll guarantee you everybody in Jerusalem knew who Anna was. I'll guarantee you everybody that ever visited the temple probably saw her and was acquainted with her and the work that she was doing. And so we find that she had a great purpose in life. Even though tragedy had come to her, she had no children, she had no husband. All she had was the people of the temple. All she had was the temple service. And so her purpose was great and grand as far as she was concerned, because it was to glorify and honor the Lord. And I'm sure that God approved that, because she is listed here in the early works and the early life of the Lord Jesus Christ. She sees the Lord. She sees that baby Jesus. I personally believe she sees him before the wise men do. I believe the wise men came at a later time. And so here they've been in Bethlehem. The shepherds come, and we know the story, and they come to the Lord, and they see him there in the manger. And now they've made their trip. There's a period of purification that Mary had to go through. She makes the trip to Jerusalem to go through the rituals of the temple. And so Jesus is just a little over, maybe eight, I know he's over 8 days old, 10 to 12 days old, very young child. And two-week-old baby comes into the temple, and Simeon says, "There he is." And he makes his proclamation, and she comes in, and she hears that, and she is rejoicing, and she says, "This is the redemption in Jerusalem. For those that are looking for redemption in Jerusalem, here he is." Thank God tonight he's redemption to everyone that will come to him, everyone that will follow after him. It's like God says to us, he caught their eye, and he gains the attention of this woman, and she makes proclamation that he is the one that is the redemption in Israel. You'll notice here, I thought it a little, maybe not strange, but a little different, because so little said about her. But you find here that the scripture gives her her generation or her pedigree, who she was. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phineal of the tribe of Asher. Now, her father had been dead a number of years, but yet the Lord brings his name out and brings the tribe of Asher out to point out who she was, where she came from. And to the Jew, it's very important that they knew who their parents, grandparents, and they knew all those before them, and what tribe of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so the Lord brings out her father's name, and I can't help but believe that her father was a very dedicated individual to the Lord, because he must have trained her correctly. He must have trained her right, because even after she marries, her husband dies, she gives herself to the Lord, gives herself to the temple. She lives there. God blesses her and she's a prophetess, and she says, here's the Lord. Simeon has made his proclamation, and for all those that are looking for redemption in Israel, there he is. And so here a 110-year-old woman is proclaiming that Jesus Christ is that redemptive individual that one day would save not only Israel, but not and also the Gentile, and he would save for all them that would come unto him. And so we find here that she has the profile, who she is, how old she is, a few things about her background. Her father's mentioned, her tribe is mentioned, and that's very important. And it's recorded eternally in the Word of God that we have before us. So that's her profile. That's who she is. That's what a little bit that we know about her. Let's notice, secondly, in verse number 37, she departed not from the temple, but served God. She didn't depart from the temple. Her whole life was in the temple serving God. Notice how she does that. With fastings and prayers, night and day. We should never make light or think it's not important to pray. We should be thankful for those that tell us, I pray for you. Here is this woman of this age, and she served God with fastings and prayers. That's how she served the Lord. She had fastings in her life. There's times she would do without certain things in order to do the work of the Lord, and she fasted and her prayers, and she did it night and day. Her husband's gone. She has no children. And maybe she would think one day early in her life, what can I do? I have no children. I have no husband. What can I do? I can serve God. You see, we can serve God anywhere we are. We can serve God any condition we're in. We can serve the Lord wherever we find ourselves, and we certainly should never diminish prayer ministry. It's important to pray. Now, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't say teach us how to pray. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. The Scripture talks about prayers and supplications and thanksgivings and the sacrifice of prayer. Prayer ministry is very important. And you can talk to a missionary that's a real missionary that loves the Lord and serves God. They're more interested in our prayers than they are our dollars, because prayer makes whatever they have available to them, makes it work for them. And so we are prayer partners with people around this world to get the ministry accomplished. And so this woman, her ministry really was prayers and fast. That's how she served God. Somebody said, well, she didn't do too much. She didn't accomplish too much. Yeah, she's recorded in the Scripture. She's given to us her name, her father's name, and her tribe. And so I'd say she did quite a bit. I'd say God recognized that ministry of prayer. God recognized what she did. So we should never diminish the prayer ministry. We probably will never know until eternity just how many things God did because somebody prayed. When somebody asks you to pray for them, don't just say yes and forget about it. If they want you to pray for them, be sure and pray for them. Be sure and take that moment, that time, and pray for them. God did so many things because of prayer. And so we won't know until eternity what God has done among us directly due to the prayer, because of the prayer of someone for us. We'll never know what the Lord's done because of our prayer. We'll never recognize and know the end result of that until we get into eternity, till we realize what was accomplished because of prayer. But on the other side of that, we may also learn what was not done because we didn't pray. We may learn what was unaccomplished and what was unavailable because we did not pray. God isn't going to ask us to do something such as pray and then just toss them away. God hears our prayers. God knows our supplication. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 8, it says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, and the last words there of that verse, which are the prayers of saints. Sounds like that prayer smells good to the Lord. In those moments there in Revelation 5, the four beasts, the 420 elders, that represents all of redemptive mankind. And when they come to the Lord, they fall down before Him and they have their vials or their bowls full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Never diminish the importance of prayer. Probably one of the least used commodities that we have as a believer. Prayer and Bible reading so many times go undone. So that's who she was. That's what she did. Let's notice what she said, her prophecy. Verse 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She comes in while Simeon is making his proclamation about the Lord, saying He is the Christ. And the Scripture says she gave thanks. She came to the Lord, and the Scripture says in that instant she gave thanks. That's sort of like her saying amen to what He is saying. She is giving thanks. That's part of her prayer ministry. That's part of her life. And she gives thanks unto the Lord. And then it says, she spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I believe she was probably what we would consider someone that was really interested in people. She was one that would tell them, I've seen the Christ. I've heard the prophecy. Simeon, he has made statements about the Lord. I've seen Him. I've heard Him. He's there. And she's witnessing to everybody in Jerusalem that's looking for redemption, because they were looking for the coming of the Lord. They were desiring the coming. They were wanting to get out of underneath the bondage of the Roman Empire, and they were looking for a deliverer, and that's why so many of them missed Him, because they thought He was coming to set up His kingdom. The Jew could, they could not see this space of time that we are living in. They had the Old Testament said when Jesus comes, He's going to establish His kingdom. They were looking for Him to come. And when He came, they said, now, who's the greatest in the kingdom? And they were looking for the Lord to establish His kingdom, overthrow Rome. And when He didn't do it the way they thought He would, they rejected Him and they ridiculed Him. But you see, there's a little space of time called the church age. And we're in that age right now, and where we read tonight concerning Simeon, he is lightening the Gentiles now. This is the Gentile age of hearing the gospel. Most of the Jews today have rejected Christ. They still are looking for Him to come. They're still looking for the same thing that Simeon was looking for, but it's 2,000 years later. They missed His first coming, and they're still looking for, and we're looking for His second coming. And so they are, we're in that time frame that is the that is called here concerning the enlightening the Gentiles. And so she witnessed to everybody around. She told them, I've seen the redemption of Israel. I've seen the redemption of Jerusalem. Here this Anna of Asher walks up and down inside the temple, outside the temple, and she is continually talking and prophesying concerning the coming of the Lord. Anna walks in right in the middle of Simeon's prophecy, and she rejoices, and she makes the statement concerning the Lord, and she said, now you can find redemption in Jerusalem. Thank God Jesus was born, and we are living in that time frame now of the Christmas season, and we'll be talking about the birth of the Lord and the manger scene and all the things that we deal with when it comes to Christmas. But I believe a big part of the Christmas story is right here in these three little verses about Anna and those few verses we read about Simeon. I believe that's a very important part of this Christmas story, because when they go to Jerusalem, He's recognized as a baby. He takes Him in His arm and He says, I can depart in peace now. I have seen the Christ. I have seen the Lord's Christ. And she hears that, and she rejoices. this woman, Anna, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, she's pretty important, and we overlook her so many times. We don't say much about these two people, but what a great prophecy they both gave. One is concerning who the Lord is, one is concerning what the Lord will do. He is the Redeemer in Jerusalem. If you're looking for redemption, here he is. If you're looking for redemption, there he is. And the verse, didn't read verse number 40. Of course, verse 39, they performed the things according to the law. They returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And the next thing you see about the Lord Jesus Christ is when his parents take him to the temple, to the Passover, and there begins some of the few things that we know about his early childhood. We know nothing from the time that Anna speaks of the Lord until those verses that follow that. They take him home, they take him to their city of Nazareth, and the child grew. Just a normal individual. He grew, he waxed strong in the spirit, and the grace of God was upon him. And it wasn't long till if you heard him speak, you knew who he was. If you heard him speak, you understood he had wisdom far beyond his years. He speaks to the leaders, religious leaders, and he confounds them of his knowledge. Where did he learn that? He didn't have to learn it. He is the knowledge. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the life. Thank God for these two people in the very early few days of the first part of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that they recognized who he was, proclaimed him as Messiah. And I'm glad that we have that tonight. I'm glad we can do that same proclamation that he is the enlightening to the Gentile. He's the salvation to the Jew. And may we in our prayer and fasting be used like Anna was in the house of the Lord. Let's stand together tonight.